Thank you. Verse that's in this song that says, my heart will sing your praise again. When I first heard this song, I was driving to Sunnyside every weekend for about 7 weeks, but my hearing aids, I was hearing, my heart will see your face again. And so when I got the words and read the lyrics, I was like, that's not what it says. So I just want to say that to say this. There are times when we're like, I don't see you, God. I don't see what's happening because we're looking here, but we're not seeing him here. And so those are the times we need to open our heart and see him here. And then in this time of year, this is one of the most important times of year because Christ appeared in flesh, came to us, and people do start seeing God available to them in their hearts when we show it to them. So I just wanted to say that there are times, stop looking with your eyes and start letting your heart see him. Because that's the most important part, is when our heart sees him, then everything else falls in place.
Amen. Amen. No, none of us are bad. We're just naughty. Coal in our stockings, I guess.
Huh? Merry Christmas, everybody. My poor husband, he's... A long time ago when we had a prophetic assembly, a minister spoke over us that didn't know us very well. And he turned and looked at Mike and he said, "She keeps you on your toes, doesn't she?" And he's like, "Pretty much." So we're changing things up right at the last minute. Sorry about that, but I really feel I've been pondering, like Mary, this past week about Christmas. And I have a cousin that lives in St. Petersburg, Africa, South Africa. And he and his wife, Sally, Floyd and Sally, have been ministers their whole life. And he has been pretty much in a vegetative state for the past 4 or 5 years. They've been living a rough road, not what you would expect, ones that had given their whole lives to God. One you wouldn't expect for them to be walking, but nonetheless they are walking. And out of it, ministering to people far and wide, all over the country. He is one of my favorite people. I remember the very first time I met Floyd. He's even taller than Mike. He's like 6'8", 6'9". And I had such a heart, and I still do, for missions, for outreach. And Floyd was trying to get me so hard to join YWAM and go, you know, go with him over to Australia where they were at. And I'm just like, no, no, you know, I want to so bad, but I just, you know, I already had a life and I already had kids. Well, so did they, but it was the way that they lived. That was their whole life. Well, as I've been reflecting on, because Sally writes almost on a daily basis, she writes a post, and she has now battled cancer 3 times, and she's battled cancer the last time during his time. So they have been apart for quite a while, and she is starting to get a little bit better and able to actually be back with them. And as I was reading her post last week, she wrote in there just a little phrase, and it has stuck with me. And it was the three wise women, not the three wise men. And I'm like, three wise women. And if you look at the Christmas story, zoom in on just the portion of Mary, you think, okay, well, there's Mary. There's one down.
She's pretty wise.
She's pretty wise.
Yeah.
And where she it may not be wise, she's very spiritually minded, which makes her wise.
And submitted.
And submitted, yes, which makes her submitted too, mm-hmm. Right.
Which makes her but wise.
Which makes her wise. So, but if you zoom out a little bit, you'll notice there's two women on either side of Mary that encompasses Mary in this story. The first one is Mary's cousin, Elizabeth. Number two, the second one is Anna, the prophetess. On the 40th day of Jesus being born. Eighth day of Jesus being born. They take him to the temple, and Anna is there. So you have these two elderly women on either side. They too have given their whole life to the Lord, as have Sally and Floyd. They too have committed everything to him. And they kind of like come together around Mary in a way. And I remember teaching a study long time ago about having someone like Elizabeth. You know, Mary traveled a very long trip to get to Elizabeth's home on foot. They didn't have cars or buses or trains or planes or anything like that. She walked. And when she got to Elizabeth's house, she didn't even need to knock. That's how comfortable, how wonderfully intimate they were, that she could just enter in the threshold of her door and not have to knock on it. And it says she came through the threshold And she greeted Elizabeth, and immediately the babe jumped in Elizabeth's belly. And she was filled with the Spirit of God. And she says to Mary, "What is it that the mother of my Lord would come to me?" Not even knowing that Mary was pregnant until she heard her voice. This is a great time to reflect on this story in the broader sense, in that we tend to, and I'm not younger anymore, as younger people, we tend to pacify older people. You've done your job. Good for you. Pat, pat on the back. But Mary needed these women in her life. She sought their wisdom. She really did. She went to the temple and Anna was there. She went to Elizabeth's home and Elizabeth was there. Do you understand what I mean by that? We tend to pacify the elderly when the elderly have so much knowledge, such a wealth to be able to instill into us. And even if they never speak a word to us, I can guarantee you, this sweet lady right here sitting on the second line right there, that woman prays for you. That woman lifts you up in prayer. If she never speaks another word to you, you have a prayer warrior in Phyllis Ford. That is a wealth of wisdom that she has obtained from the Spirit of God. So here's sweet Mary. And Mary, even though she doesn't recognize it in herself, Mary is young. And she is, "Okay, Lord, whatever you want." I'm sure she wasn't frivolous like that. But there's a sense of frivolity in young, more so than in old. Don't you think?
Oh, I think so. I think they tend to be more free-spirited. Yeah.
Spontaneity.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did something very spontaneous, and it felt weird because we haven't done it in a very long time. We actually went to Oregon and back in one day from the place down where we're at, which is not that big a deal because it was only like a 45-minute trip one way to look for a vehicle, and we had lunch at a restaurant we had never eaten at. We got to the end of a road and Mike says, "Which way should we go?" Like, I loved that because we were being very spontaneous. Mary, in her short life that she had already lived, it was so directed and aimed at God. She was such an arrow toward God that when the angel showed up, she wasn't startled by him, but like we said last week, by the greeting that he gave. She wasn't startled that he showed up. That's how comfortable she was with God. And when he says, "You know, you're going to have the baby, and how am I supposed to do that, God?" Like, you know, she's just like, and then she immediately goes for wisdom. She goes for Elizabeth. She travels to Elizabeth's home. She walks in Elizabeth's door. She says to Elizabeth, "My soul magnifies the Lord." It magnifies him. Like where it was before he visited me in the angel of the Lord, it's now magnified. It's greater. It's bigger than it ever was before. And do you know, this holiday, this Christmas, God can be magnified in us.
Amen.
I ask God for a word, one word. Here's your title, Jay. Magnify. Let God be magnified in you. Mary's very obedience shows us how to allow that to be this Christmas. It doesn't matter how many gifts are underneath the tree. It doesn't matter if you get what you want or not. It doesn't matter if for 25 years we've opened a stocking and this year the stocking isn't even hung. The tree
is chimney with care.
Or the tree decorated either. I mean, we have not got one stitch of Christmas in either one of the houses. But our hearts feel God, love God so much We did wrap presents on Friday, so there are presents to go under the non-tree. But this year, I want God to be magnified in me. I want him to be so much more than he even was in me yesterday. And he's in there. I just need to acknowledge it. I just need to say, you know what? I need to forget what people think. I need to forget what the way things normally are. I need to forget everything other than the fact my soul magnifies you, God. My soul magnifies you. I purpose to make you bigger in my life. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. That's the only gift we need. Saving. That's it. We don't need any more. He gladly gives more. But we don't need any more. He's already done it all and given it all. We don't need any more than that.
Do you have anything you want to say?
You've said quite a bit. But
I know.
One of the things that she said, because I was curious, because I've read before that, you know, that Zacharias and Elizabeth were, you know, it says advanced in years. So I thought I would just take a look and see if there was any kind of historical of what they think that they might have been. And from the Septuagint, I guess there's a rendering of the Hebrew word. And believe it or not, that they could be, she could be in her 80s and he could be in his 90s. So it was a very miraculous birth for John the Baptist. They weren't just barren, but they were basically beyond, almost like Abraham and Sarah. And so a miracle was greeting a miracle.
Exactly.
You know, and so
that's beautiful.
Yeah. And so that life that was in her, you know, that if you think about the story, I mean, you know, you couldn't write this any better in any novel, because his cousin, this one that was a miracle baby, then ends up being the one that says, this is the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
This is the Savior of the world.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like these two women are setting the stage for the two servants of the Lord.
Right.
And who knows what part they played in that moment when they greet each other and he says, this is the Lamb of God.
Right.
I am not going to argue whether or not women should be ministering in church. It doesn't matter to me if a woman ministers or not, but some people have a real hard time with it. There's been a lot of controversy about it. But if it had not been for a woman, we would not have a Savior of the world or anybody proclaiming his name prior to.
Amen.
Women are as important to God as men. We, each one, God doesn't look at me and say, that's a woman, that's a man. He doesn't do that. That's my kid. That's my child.
He sees their heart.
That's my baby right there. He doesn't look at me as a woman or a man or anything. He looks at my heart.
He doesn't look at the outer appearance.
He doesn't look at the outer appearance. He looks at my heart.
We look at the outer appearance.
We do.
And unfortunately, outer appearance for women have put them in a lesser roles at times than men, when it's been to our own deficit, because of the grace and even the wisdom that women bring that men sometimes overlook, because we're so focused on what we see at the moment, we can't see even the big picture. I can't tell you how many times that I know that you know, Pastor Sharon would give counsel to Pastor Ken, I see this, and it's like he saw the what he wanted to get done, but she saw the big. And there were times that he listened, other times he didn't, and most of the time she was right. And I believe that's part of that gifting that a lot of women have. Most women have, I believe.
Right.
Most women know where their kids are and when they're in trouble and all that, you know.
Exactly.
So What does this mean for our lives? It sounds like what you're saying is that openness for God working in us requires us sometimes to seek out others that will help us in our journey.
Amen. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I know that for him, he loves to talk to Roger. He loves to talk to Pastor George. I mean, he has wisdom that he seeks out that helps him move along. And let me just say something. I want to bring Anna in here for just a minute.
Sure.
Anna the prophetess, she had been a married woman. She already knew what Mary and Elizabeth, what their lives were like. She was married for 7 years before her husband died. So she had lived the married life. After her husband died, in her heart she felt like it was up to her to be completely devoted to God. And she spent every day after that in the temple praying and fasting. I'm thinking to myself, had she not done that, she probably would not have recognized the Savior, but she did.
Mm-hmm.
She recognized him immediately. She knew exactly who her Lord was. Sometimes it's hard for us to recognize our Lord in situations only because we've not dedicated enough time. We've not dedicated enough of us to him that we can actually see his hand moving in our lives. I can't tell you how many times over the past 4 months. You guys, it's probably been some of the hardest time in my life. But I can see the grace and the mercy of God. I can almost see his hand moving. I have called Mike on the phone when I've been down there. He's been up here, and I'm like, babe, we had no idea when we said yes, what we were saying yes to. It is so much bigger than what we even know. God is moving so much in everything that's happening. And the whole thing about it is that, and I stand to be corrected, but I don't feel that we as a church body have suffered at all for us being down there to minister to our family. I believe we have grown from it because we bring this back to you where we have grown. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we all are growing in all of this. And that's the thing with Mary. Mary, when she went to Elizabeth, she stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Elizabeth poured into her. When she went to the temple, she went straight for Anna. That's why Anna recognized the Lord, because Mary was holding him. He didn't walk over to her and she said, oh, there's a... No, she was he was in her mom's arms. He was right there. And so was she. Anna recognized Mary just like she recognized the Savior. I'm just going to say we need one another so much. We need each other more than we know. And what people in the world need is they need somebody just to love them. I don't say accept what they do, because sometimes they do sin. But they need to know unconditional love. They need to know that even if you don't take a step in a church, you are loved. You're valued.
And God's working in their life.
And God is working in their life.
Even if they don't know it.
Yes. Yesterday, just like I shared with a couple of you, we got a new car. Our settlement for our accident is coming in. And so I needed a more comfortable, easier car to get in and out of. So we got a car yesterday. And a friend of ours works at Stewart Subaru. And she used to attend church here for a very long time. And I remember when we bought our first car with her, we stayed connected. And we even went to breakfast together one day. And we were talking about the Lord. And she had already suffered through a divorce, through a really hard time. And she goes, I don't know if I believe anymore. I don't know. And you know what I said to her? I love you. You will always be my friend. I will always pray for you. We went in yesterday and saw her again, 4 years later. Immediately, just like a fly to honey, she just zoomed in, got a big hug. Her daughter was with her, Shelby. Shelby was with her. And Shelby saw us, and she ran over to us, embraced both of us. They both felt, didn't hear, but they felt the love of God as we wrapped our arms around them and loved on them. Later on, she came and she was sitting around the table, and we were talking about all the kids because her kids and our kids are both the same ages.
Yep.
Tim is just a couple years younger than Shelby, and Melissa is the same age as her little D almost. So we were just sharing how the kids were doing and what was going on in their lives. And Mike mentioned the Lord, and she didn't even flinch when she heard the Lord. Like, I don't know what she's done between then and now, but I do know I've prayed for her. I do know that I've been in contact with her over Facebook, over text messages several times over the past 4 years. I have to believe that God, in his timing, he's going to recall to her that love that she's let go of. And what good is it going to do her if she comes back to that love and I, as a friend, have completely pushed her out of my life because you don't serve the Lord? No, that's not how we do it. We embrace them. We love them. I mean, I think Shelby almost melted in my arms. I'm not kidding. 23 years old, just a little thing. She's just a tiny little thing. Still looks like a little girl. And she just melted in my arms. Like, she didn't want to let go. I let go before she did. Because I just, and Lord, I'm saying in my spirit, Lord, please let her get something in this hug. Let her feel you, Jesus. That's what this season's about. It's not about what we get or what we give. It's not about who we see or who we don't see. It's allowing these two arms to become Jesus enough to wrap around somebody that's hurting desperately and needs to feel his love this year. And this year might be the year that they turn around and come right on back. Or turn around for the first time and say, you know, that hug that I got from Zeke the other day, yeah, it was a manly hug, but I got a hug from Zeke. And I needed it so bad. I was hurting so deeply. He had no idea. You see what I'm saying? People will mull over those Jesus arms around them. They will remember. They will know. They will know. Will they know it from you? Will you magnify the Lord in you?
Amen. You know, the wise men brought, you know, physical, tangible gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But these wise women brought spiritual gifts. And I believe had greater significance than the, you know, the fuel that gave Joseph and Mary the ability to go and probably live in Egypt for 2 years and not have to worry about anything. You know, that was a great gift, and that was inspired by God. But what those women gave as wise women, I believe, set the stage for Jesus' life. Yeah. And even John's life.
Amen, I believe that.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. I guess we have a special.
Yes.
What's that? Oh. Want me to pray? Okay. We'll pray afterwards.
Please.
We're going to pray afterwards. You can pray now if you want, but it's like.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, Are y'all getting tired of that song?
It's like
we sing it every year.
So I took their music away from them. Interesting enough, I just realized that that's what the whole message is about. Was Wonderful Counselor. We got two messages. So the Lord took care of both messages for us. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time together. And Lord, we do ask that as we have the examples of these three wise women, Lord, that we would learn from their lives, Lord, what it is to be someone that seeks out counsel, seeks out comfort and strength, Lord, from others. And we pray that you would allow our hearts this season of Christmas, Lord, to be more open, to be more receptive, to be, as Mary said, whatever you want done, Lord, that we would be open to that. And we just thank you for it. We ask you to bless our time together, Lord, as we go to Abby's Pizza and just bless the food and the fellowship and just allow this day to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, she's going to talk about that.
So by the time we get done greeting and meeting and saying hey and putting stuff away, they're going to have the appetizers ready for us right at 12:30. I've already ordered them. There's glasses for pop. You get whatever pop you want. It's a bottomless cup, so you can keep refilling.
Pit. Yeah.
and so there's going to be many appetizers. And then if you decide you want more than that, you get 10% off whatever else you order after that.
Yeah, just let them know you're with our
group. Just tell them that you're with One Life Family Worship, and they will give you your 10% discount. So I hope you guys all come. It's going to be fun.
Okay, praise the Lord. Woo.